God, for the wonderful day that He's given to us to live, to honor Him with our lives, glorify Him tonight, and we come together to worship. Appreciate the songs that Michael led tonight. I know a couple of those were unfamiliar to us. That last one is one that I asked him to lead. Kind of goes along with the lesson that we'll be looking at this evening. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're thankful that you're here and can enjoy this time of worship to our God. I want to talk with you tonight about pleasing God. We all like applause, don't we? We all like to be appreciated by somebody. Have you ever thought about God appreciating you? We know that there's rejoicing in heaven when sinners repent. We know that there's rejoicing in heaven about some other things as well, that there's great joy there. We know that the Bible talks many times about God being pleased with something or someone. The question really of tonight's lesson is, do we love and respect God enough that we will devote our entire lives and all of our being just for that one moment to hear Him say, "Well done," that we have pleased Him, that He is happy with us and with our relationship with Him? What a glorious thing that will be. Not only a relief for us, as He says, "Well done, enter into the joys of the Lord," but to realize that we are pleased with Him. That we have, by the way we have behaved, by the faith that we have had in Him, by the trust that we have shown Him, that we ourselves have affected the God of heaven, His mood, if you will, His happiness. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul says in part there, just this one phrase I want you to notice, that we ought to walk and please God. We ought to walk and please God. That's our purpose here, to live a life that is pleasing to God, that affects Him. Sadly, most people in the world, of course, don't live such a life. Most people of the world, I think, please themselves. They live to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, that when we're living to please ourselves, we cannot please God. When we're living in the flesh and following the desires of the flesh, we cannot be pleasing to God. And so tonight our concern is to get a concept in our minds about living a life that doesn't please ourselves, rather living a life that denies self and that pleases God, that makes Him smile, that makes Him happy. I remember so many times as a child what it felt like when my parents were pleased with me. Remember that feeling? You did something that pleased your parents. Maybe it was a chore they set you to do and you did it well. And you got the pat on the back. Good job with that chore. Or maybe they came to a ball game that you were playing in. My parents rarely came to any of my ball games, but I was just thrilled when they did. And if they'd make the least little comment about me making a basket on the basketball court or whatever it was, it made me, you know, grin from ear to ear to think about pleasing them. That's what our whole life needs to be. A desire to please God, to make Him smile at us and upon us for the effort that we've done. When I think of God, I think that He's pleased with a lot of things. I know that He's pleased with creation. I've been, as many of you have maybe this last week, doing a little bit of work in my yard, trying to put out a couple of flowers and that sort of thing, and getting the yard looking nice. Again, thinking about my own childhood, I remember my father and I spending endless hours, countless hours, putting out hundreds and hundreds of flowers in our yard. He'd grow geraniums, and we'd put those out, and all sorts of things. And our yard, people would literally stop in the road to look at our yard and take pictures of it. That's how much work. And that just pleased my father so much. And I think about God, you know, He owns all the beautiful yards and all the beautiful gardens. The picture that you see on the screen, He owns that hillside and those beautiful flowers, and how that must please Him, and how pleased He is when we appreciate what He's done. And I'm just saying all of that, just try to get somehow in our minds the concept of how wonderful it is to make God happy. What a wonderful thing it is to live such a life as to make God happy. We can't do it for striving to please ourselves, but we can do it if we follow God's wishes. And the first thing that we're going to find that pleases God and that's necessary to please God, I think fundamentally, foundationally, is a simple faith and trust in Him. Familiar passage of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5 says that by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased God, and because of that, he did not see death. He was translated, if you will, taken up into heaven. The next verse says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is pleased with faith. He's pleased when we trust him. He's pleased when we believe him, when we believe his word. It pleases him to see his children walk not by sight, not by what they know, by their five senses and their human experiences, but walk in trusting him because he said it. You believe it and you follow that path to walk by faith and not by sight. Enoch walked with God, and in walking with God, he walked in faith. And that pleased God. The only thing really that we know about Enoch is it said that he walked with God and that he had faith and so pleased God. Let's use that as a starting point. You want to be pleasing to God. You want to make God smile at you and upon your life. Believe him. Trust him. He that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then follow that up and connected to it, respect him and rely upon him in every aspect of your life. The Bible says in Psalm 147 and verse 10 that the Lord does not delight in the strength of the horse, nor does he take pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. What God takes pleasure in, what makes him happy, is people who fear him, who respect him, who hope in him and his ways and his promises. Again, we think about our own lives and what we find pleasure in. The great athlete. The great warrior. The person who accomplishes a lot by his talents and his skills. God's not impressed with how fast a man can run, how far he can throw a football, or how fast he can throw a baseball. God's not impressed with, you know, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. That's not something that impresses God. He's not impressed with horses or with the legs of men. He doesn't take necessarily pleasure in those things. His pleasure is in people who respect him. In people whose hope is founded in the promises that he has made. And they believe those promises. And so their hope is in him. God is one who's pleased with respect and reliance. He's pleased with selflessness. There's the great story that we find in 1 Kings chapter 3. Starting in verse 5 about Solomon, not long after he became king, Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, ask what shall I give you? And Solomon said, you've shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And you have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? You know what the next thing says? Speech pleased the Lord. Why did it please the Lord? Here, for once in Solomon's life, he was entirely selfless, devoid of self-concern. His interest was in ruling over God's people in a way that God's people deserve to be ruled over, because they were God's people. These are God's people, and Solomon needs wisdom and discerning heart to rule over God's people the way they ought to be. This speech pleased God. I wonder how many times when we are asking God for something, we get done with our speech. We say, now here, God, here's what I'd like in this situation. I wonder how many times we finish with that and the text could read, and God was pleased with his speech. Because it was not selfish, but selfless. Because it was not concerned with what I can accomplish or what I can do, but what would be best for God and his cause and his people. That's what you see here. God is pleased with selflessness. God is pleased with single-minded dedication to serving him. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself in the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We've been enlisted by the Lord to fight in his army. He needs soldiers that are completely dedicated in a single-minded way to serving, fighting the battles. This pleases the one who enrolled us. And then God is pleased by allowing him to work in us and through us to accomplish his purposes. Look again back at the book of Hebrews and notice with me chapter 13. Toward the last of that great book, the writer says in Hebrews 13 and verse 20, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice that phraseology again in verse 31 with me, or 21 rather with me. Look at it very carefully. He will make you complete in every good work to do his will. So whatever we're doing, rely on God and do his will. Rely on him to work in us what is pleasing in his side. And so the question that we should be before us all the time is what I'm doing right here, is the work that I'm doing, is it pleasing God, or is it pleasing me? Is it pleasing man, or is it pleasing heaven? This mindset must guide us all of the time as we strive to serve the Lord. There are two or three things that I want to stop and notice here with you on this point. One is that God certainly works in us and through us. He is the one who gives us our abilities, our talents, if you will. As we were talking about last Sunday, we minister in the strength that he supplies. So he works through us in that he supplies the strength for us to accomplish things. He supplies for us, as we've already talked about, the direction for us to accomplish things. His work is according to his word. And so in a number of ways, God works through us and in us. There's nothing really mystical about it. There are some people who try to make that some sort of mystical thing, but it's really pretty straightforward. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. I think to understand that passage, you have to put it all together, and you have to look at the beginning of it and connect it to the end of it. He starts out by telling the Philippians, you have always obeyed. You've always done what God said to do. And so because of that, God is working in you. You see that? There are a lot of folks out here who have this idea that somehow the Holy Spirit is mystically moving, you know, and causing all of this to happen in some way we can't understand, and causing people to do what God wants them to do, maybe even against their will. And that's just craziness when you look at this passage. The point of the whole thing is that the Philippians were obeying God. They were encouraged to continue to work out their own salvation, to do what God had told them to do. And in so doing, God was working in them. That's how God worked in them, because they were obeying and because they were working out their salvation. So God was working in them to will and to do. And all of that, guess what? Was to His good pleasure. God was pleased with them. God was pleased. You want to please God? Allow Him to work in you and through you by obeying His commandments. By doing what He said to do. That's what Paul is describing in this passage directed to the Philippians. We are to work as tools of His. Tools made, in fact, by a master craftsman, if you will. There's a brand of tools, my favorite brand of tools, that is made by a company called Klein, K-L-E-I-N. I say they're my favorite brand of tools. I take great pleasure in the fact that there's a brand of tools that are named Klein. I don't take great pleasure in the fact that they are such fine tools and so expensive that I cannot afford any of them. But I can imagine, you know, God's name is on us. God's name is on us. And we are therefore to be the highest quality tools. And He takes pleasure in the fact that we are, and that we are to do the best of work, because His name is on us. 2 or 3 years ago at the Bible school, I had a student come up to me and take out of his pocket, I'll just call it a thing. I don't know what it was. It was a thing. But he had made it over at tech school. He had machined it. And he was as happy with that little tool that he had made as any, and I have no idea even what it was for or what it did. He explained it to me. I still don't know. But he was just so pleased with that tool that he had made and that it did what it was designed to do. And again, he explained it to me, and I can't explain it to you because I didn't understand it, but he was just so happy. And I just see God having made us, designed us, and then we work in the way that He designed us to work, how pleasing that must be to Him. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, we are His workmanship. We are His work. We are, He made us in the machine shop, if you will. He made us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And therefore, He takes great pleasure in us when we function properly. Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. The Lord delights in the way of a good man, a man that's following the will of God in his life. We need to keep ourselves available to do His work. We need to be ready to do God's work all of the time, to be tools that are pleasing to Him. 2 Timothy 2:21, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. In my house, we have a lot of bowls that you can put cereal in. There are a lot of nice glass bowls. We even have some china that has been given to us over the years and some things like that. But there are only 3 bowls that I like to put my cereal in the morning. And they're all these cheap, big plastic bowls. And I love it every, you know, when I get up in the morning, I eat, you know, this cereal, high protein, high fiber cereal I need to have every morning. So I love it when I get up in the morning and open up that cabinet and one of those 3 plastic bowls is in there and ready to be used. You know what I don't like? When I get up in the morning and open up the cabinet and the 3 bowls are not there. None of them. They're all dirty. They're all in the washing machine or whatever. And so I've got to use one of those other bowls. Because my favorite bowl's not ready to do the work that I want it to do. We are vessels. We need to keep ourselves clean and ready to do God's work whenever He needs it done. It's important that we purify ourselves from the things of this world and keep ourselves unoccupied with worldliness and with the desires of the flesh, so that when God goes to open the cabinet, He needs to use us for something that day in His work, in His kingdom. will be ready to be used. And I like to picture the Lord opening that cabinet in the morning and Steve is there and he's ready to be used and he's clean. And that puts a smile on his face. We need to be those kinds of vessels. Ready to be used by the Master. What pleases God? You know, what pleases God is when His children give and when they share. It pleases us as parents, don't it? Doesn't it please us as parents? When our children are ready to give and share. Hebrews 13:16. Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. For those of you who have more than one child, can you count the number of times you've told them to be good and share? How happy it would make you if they just share, get along. Don't forget to do good and to share, because those are the kinds of things that please God. God is pleased with those sacrifices. Philippians 4:18, the Philippian church had sent funds to Paul to support him in his work as an evangelist. And he says about them in thanking them for what they'd done, he says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." And again, there are things that when we experience them, they kind of bring a smile to our faces. They make us feel happy. I think about the smell of barbecued ribs. You know, every time I smell barbecued ribs, they just makes me feel good inside. And I feature God looking upon us, sharing with one another, supporting the gospel, those kinds of things. And that goes up in His nostrils as a sweet aroma. Not of barbecued ribs, of course, but as a sacrifice. And He's pleased with that. And I don't know about you, but the whole point of this lesson is that it makes me so happy to make Him happy. Doesn't it you? Just make you so happy. Think about making Him happy. God's pleased with giving and sharing. He's pleased when we speak His words as His words. The Apostle Paul, who was especially entrusted as an apostle with the inspired Word of God, he said in 1 Thessalonians 2:4, that as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our hearts. We're speaking God's word as His word, and that pleases God. We're delivering the message just as He gave it to us. Paul was not interested in pleasing men. Galatians 1:9-10. He says, "If anyone preaches any gospel to you other than that we have received, let it be accursed," other than what you have received. Let him be accursed. He says, "I do not now persuade men. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I still please men, I should not be a servant of Christ." God is pleased when we praise Him with sincere thanksgiving and in song. Psalm 69:30-31. "I will praise the name of God with a song, will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull, which has horns and hooves." Thinking about the singing that we had last Wednesday night. Many of the singings that we've had since I've been here at Eastside have just so very much uplifted me and been just a world of encouragement to me. We teach and admonish one another. Songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And the one this last Wednesday night, I was telling somebody, seemed like it was over before it got started. We were having the invitation. I looked at my watch, and sure enough, it was time to have the invitation, but it seemed like we We just got started, and I was so enjoying that. But of course, the point of it is not how much I enjoy it, but how I wonder then how much God enjoys all of that. And if we're pleasing Him from the heart, it doesn't matter really to Him if the singing is loud or not, or whether or not we're on key or not. I think if we're doing singing to the best of our ability and we're praising Him from the heart, those are the main things. And that's what He's looking at, and He'd much rather have that. He's much more pleased with that than, as the psalmist says, with offering Him a sacrifice of an ox or a bull or something like that. Lastly, when we think about what pleases God, you know what pleases God? Young people especially remember this, obeying your parents. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Sandy, my wife, has a very special style of parenting that I've appreciated over the years. When our children were young, she would, in trying to tell them what to do or not to do, often couch it in a phrase like this: if you do that, God won't be happy. You ever heard somebody say that? God's not going to be happy if you do that. And I caught her doing that the other day with our grandson, who's sleeping now. But she was trying to get him not to do something, and she said, just like she did with our kids when they were growing up, God's not going to be happy if you do that. And I've told this story a lot, and I can still remember when Katie was just a little girl, maybe 2 or 3 years old, and Sandy had been, you know, teaching her with that kind of phraseology, and Katie hadn't been doing anything bad or good. Just out of the blue, she looked up at Sandy and she said, "Mama, is God happy?" But, you know, that's what we ought to be concerned about. Is God happy? Is God happy? And children, young people, you can make God happy by obeying your parents. The text that we just read, the Apostle Paul, who surely knew, said that when children obey their parents in all things, it is well pleasing to the Lord. Now we have just a few minutes. And I've talked about a smattering of different things that please God. And I hope in looking at all of these different things, and maybe others that we could look at, we've been motivated in some way to say, you know what, I need to change behavior. I need to improve in this area or that area, that I might truly please God, because I want to do that. I want to make Him happy. Why should we want to make Him happy? Why should we want to please God? There are so many reasons that could be given. We need to please Him so that our prayers will be answered and heard. 1 John 3 and verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. When we please God, it makes Him want to answer our prayers favorably. And I liken this often to a parent who's with a child. If your child is pleasing to you and then they ask you for a favor or they ask you for special permission, you're much more likely to grant that to a child who's pleased you by obedience than to one who's displeased you by disobedience. Young people, if you want to know the secret to getting your parents to give you the things that you ask for, make them happy. Obey them. Please them. When you do that, you're much more likely to receive the things that you're asking for. That's how God is as our Father. We need to please Him. We need to please Him even more so, of course, because He is our loving God. He is our judge. And He is the giver of our eternal home. In fact, He has arranged it. He's the one who's paid the price, who's planned the plan, who's paid the price so that we might have eternal life. So Paul's desire was to be pleasing to God so that he might have that eternal home. Heaven, there's nothing wrong with having heaven as a motivator to please God. There are those today who are saying, oh, that's a selfish motivator. No, it's not. It's one that's given in Scripture. And you look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. He says, we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. What Paul is saying there is, you know, we'd like to go on and go to heaven and be in the presence of God. We can remain here either way, whether we're absent or present from Him. Our main focus is to be pleasing to God so that we might one day go and be with Him. So many fail to grasp that concept. Why do we need to please God? Because we're Christians. To be a Christian means to be like Christ. And Jesus Christ always pleased His Father. Of course, He says in John 8 and verse 29, that He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please Him. When you decided to become a Christian, you made a number of commitments, really, in doing that. And one of them was to make Christ the Lord of your life and to strive to live a life according to His example. Jesus always pleased His Father. And His Father was very pleased. At Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descended bodily in the form of a dove. And a voice came down from heaven which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." One day, I'd like to stand before my Lord and Maker and hear Him say something similar. "This is my beloved Son, who pleased me well." Question as we close tonight, is God pleased with you? Are you making God happy? When He looks at you as His creation, created as His workmanship for good works, to live and be in the image of His only begotten Son, is He happy with what He sees? For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. How'd you answer that question? Is God pleased with you? During a Sunday morning service in St. Joseph, Missouri a few years ago, the local preacher asked how many of them really wanted to please God more than anything else. Every hand in the congregation went up. Then he asked the question, "How many of you think that God is really pleased with you?" Two hands went up, an 11-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. That was it. How many of you think God is really pleased with you? Not, why not? What are you doing that displeases you? Stop doing that. Find forgiveness through His grace. Be the person He created you to be. You're subject to His invitation. If you're not a Christian and would be one tonight, and naming His name, maybe you're a Christian who's wandered away and not lived a life pleasing Him, now's a good time to make all that right. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we stand.